Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are being accused of breaking the rule that we created.
What was that? Of not being authentic?
No. No. I bet I could get you to say it. What is the term that was coined on this show?
That would be draftism.
Okay. So we're being accused of draftism right now. I see all you texts, Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Here's what I'm going to say, because one of them kind of made a comparison that I'm not surprised came up, and they're like, why does it matter that he passed a bunch of first-round draft picks? So did Brock Purdy. And that's wonderful. And you guys coined draftism. And so why does it matter if Pat Spencer is not a first-round draft pick? It doesn't. That's not my point.
No.
Here's my point. So let's say Pat Spencer is Brock Purdy. And if the quarterback position and the backup point guard position were the same thing.
Right.
Let's pretend that they are. And let's say Pat Spencer freaking comes in and holds this damn thing down. Like what you're seeing this week, he does it all the time. And he becomes the dude that backs up Steph Curry. Great. Great. What an awesome find off of the streets by the Golden State Warriors. That's wonderful. So let me ask you, when Brock Purdy became a thing, did you then absolve the 49ers of responsibility for their Trey Lance trade and pick?
I never will.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Is that still a problem? Did that rob the Niners of other assets that they could have used?
Have Warrior fans absolved them of James Wiseman?
Thank you.
No, they have not.
Exactly.
Nor will they ever.
So that's why I call it a problem. It has nothing to do with Pat. If Pat is this guy every night, wow, rad, great.
Yep.
That does not change the problem of what you're seeing develop. And again, I still think Moody is catching strays here. If Moody is just, you know, having an off little stretch, whatever, I don't really have any problem. There's no triggering with Moses Moody right now. But Jonathan Kuminga and Brandon Pajemski are a parade of bad decisions right now. They just are. And the fan base feels some kind of way about one or both of them, depending on who you are. And their approval rating, in my mind, this is just a straw poll here, but I think the approval rating for both is below 50%. I think right now people would trade both of them for $50 on the $100. And that's where we're at. And that sucks. That's not good for the Golden State Warriors. So that's my point. And I hope that rings clear and makes sense. If Pat becomes an... First of all, the other thing is, you got to get Pat on the team if that's what you all want.
Right.
Then, which is also a problem. Steve Kerr last night called it tricky. He's on a two-way deal. He can't play the whole year.
Nope.
Unless you create a roster spot and some money.
And he's already played, quote-unquote, every game.
Right.
Even though he hasn't played, he's been active, and so that counts as one of his 55. So I believe he's 23 games into his 55. So, yeah, up in 32 more active Pat Spencer games, you have to either let him go or you have to extend him into a real full-season deal, which they've done before for players, and I think they did it with Pat Spencer as well. So, yeah, you're going to face that crossroads coming up. For me, it's not that Pat Spencer is Brock Purdy. He's Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason was undrafted. Jordan Mason, last year without McCaffrey, he flashed. He led the league in rushing, and it was also for a team that didn't win. And if you want to look at Pat Spencer in the last couple of games, and oh boy, Pat, let Pat cook. He's been great, but they're 0-2. So it's not like Pat is doing what he's doing and it's leading to wins. He's playing great, and he's leading you back, and you're still losing games.
Yeah, and what did the Niners do with Jordan Mason after that great year?
They let him go.
Exactly.
Because they had McCaffrey, and in this case, I guess it'd be Curry. And the Curry-McCaffrey comp is, to me, a lot closer than the Purdy-Pat Spencer comp is. Now, Curry's better than McCaffrey. McCaffrey's a Hall of Famer, so is Curry. But that, to me, is more an appropriate comp. And the thing that strikes me is that even through Jordan Mason's great games, you still were a 6-11 team.
Yep.
So, I mean, if you want to do this...
kind of like Kuminga against Minnesota last year.
Kind of like...
Sorry to bring that up again.
Eric Paschal, his rookie year.
Yep.
Eric Paschal was amazing as a rook, and you went 15-50.
Mm-hmm.
And he never played in the NBA again. So I'm not saying that Pat Spencer can't be useful or a good rotational player. He can be, and I love watching him play, but it's not like he's doing this and leading them to victories.
Yeah, if I hear Linsanity one more time, I'm going to go insane myself. Because you're all forgetting a couple of really important factors about Linsanity. First of all, that thing lasted for weeks. Second of all,
interesting.
They were winning games.
Huh. Okay.
No?
Well, it's funny you said that because I actually did a shallow dive.
They won some of those games. Not
Jeremy
all of them.
Lin played for the Warriors as a rookie.
I know.
He averaged 2.6 a game.
Solid.
Over 29 games.
Okay.
He played 10 minutes a night. Then the next year, Linsanity... it was about a 7-week stretch
where
he averaged about 18 a game. And, yeah, they won a bunch of games. And for the season, the New York Knicks were so good and they were so smitten with Jeremy Lin that he became a Rockets the next year.
Exactly.
2 years with Houston, one with L.A., went to Charlotte, two in Brooklyn, Atlanta, Toronto. So, yes, Linsanity... it's got a catchy name, and it really was a 6 to 8 week phenomenon of like, oh, are you kidding me? And he was better than Pat Spencer's been now, and it was the Big Apple and all the rest of it, but he was so Linsane that they let him go to Houston in the offseason.
Yeah. Pat Spencer's not going to be a franchise cornerstone.
Nor is Jeremy.
For anyone. But it's awesome that he's producing. It's great. Yeah, Granny, what's up?
I was just going to say, just want to make sure I get the right number out there. Two-way players are allowed to be active for 50 games, not 55.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, someone put the 55 out earlier this week, and I don't remember who it was, but yeah, that's circulated.
It's 50,
yeah.
And you are that you have to be active.
Just active.
Not play in the game, and he's been active in all 23, so he's about halfway done.
Okay,
It's kind of like the seniors that you see walking around in the neighborhood. They just need to be active. That's it. That's all you need. Again, it's a Friday, so I get bumped up a grade.
Yeah.
Anyway, and where are we at now, Grandy? He's played in all of them, right?
All 23?
23.
Yes, so he's 23 out of 50.
We're almost halfway home.
Yeah.
Better do something.
And if you want to talk about the coincidence, his 50th game is right after JK Day. I think JK Day, January 15th, when Jonathan Kuminga can be traded, that's about game 42
or
43. And game 50 is before the deadline. The trade deadline, I think, is game 54. So it's kind of in that in-between.
Might need to make up a calf injury or something for old Patrick.
Yeah, we don't want to put that out
No, I said make one up.
Well, he's 29, so I mean, and that hit me. I didn't realize he was that old. Steiny hit me with that in the crossover. I was like, oh my God, he's 29?
I know.
I mean, not that's old, but.
No, but it's just a fascinating life. The dude's leading a fascinating life.
Yeah.
Completely.
It's my age.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, and what have you done?
Right, which means Pat Spencer
that
doesn't...
was mean, I'm just kidding.
It means Pat Spencer doesn't know who Ronaldo Nehemiah is either.
Fair.
That's what that means.
Accurate.
Yeah, Wilfred on 580. Hi, Wilfred, thank you for calling in.
Hey, hey, gentlemen, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, what's up?
Basically, my take on this is probably a little off, but I've noticed that when either Kuminga or Pajimski play together, or Pajimski and Moody, some of their decision making, I feel, is made on them competing for minutes. There was a moment in the Oklahoma City game where Jonathan Kuminga was open on the wing, and instead of Pods passing him the ball, I think there might have been like 15 seconds left in the shot clock, he made a bad pass and made a cross-court pass to Buddy Hill that I think he threw into the first row. It's not the first time I've noticed it, and I think it was Draymond Green, or it could have been Jimmy Butler, brought up the fact that a lot of the young players, and I'm assuming that he was talking about Moody, Pajimski, and Kuminga, were making decisions based on their stats and what their stats looked like and maybe how that might affect their minutes. And I feel like sometimes they will fight themselves to not have to pass each other the ball or make decisions based on, you know, themselves and getting whatever stat that they're looking for in spite of not getting one of those two the ball and or one of the three the ball, just regardless on who it actually is.
Yeah.
And I might be a little bit off, but I've done sales for a really long time. And so body language, interpersonal relationships, I kind of pay attention to, and it doesn't really seem like those guys really get along.
Well, I mean, it's interesting, Wilford. I have no like insight on any of that behind the scenes. I like, you could be right. I've always looked at it as a little bit more abstract than that. In other words, I don't think that, you know, at least, but I could be wrong, but I don't feel like the two of them are looking at each other being like, well, I'm not passing to that dude.
Right.
I feel like it's more abstract in terms of just a feeling that's inside them when they're in the game that they really want to leave an imprint. And they have future goals for themselves. And this shows itself in different ways at different times. Like, I don't think it's that nefarious either. You know what I mean? Like, I think sometimes our brains take this to a soap opera place. Pods hates Kuminga, and Kuminga hates Pods.
No.
They both hate Kerr. Kerr doesn't like young players. And Jimmy Butler's looking at him with the stink eye. Draymond hates everybody. Like, I don't think this is all coming from a bad place.
He cannot be that guy.
Even if Brandon and Jonathan want to be great, that's not a bad thing. But it's all got to fit. It all has to fit. And sometimes you got to tuck a little bit of that away. And I don't think that they've always done a good job of that.
And I don't think that it's set up right now for them to do a good job at that. And this is my overarching takeaway from last night and these games without Steph, games without Jimmy, and last night most of the game without Draymond. So now you lose your big three, and so now you're asking your middle three to step up and be big three. And Kuminga, if there's no Steph, no Jimmy, no Draymond, his default is, let me cook. Let me get the ball. Let me get the ha-ha. Huh. Let me get the mid-range. Let me do what I do. And I don't think that Pods, his game is not built to be a one or a two or a three. If Pods is your four or your five, your fourth or your fifth best player, he can be really good in that role. You know, be grimy, be gritty, good assists, good rebounds, score a little, hit a three, sure. You might give me 11, 7, and 4, limited turnovers. You can be that guy. And I think that Moody, in that step-up role, he's just kind of lost because he's at his best when he's just straight up 3-and-D. Like, guard,
yeah.
And then on offense, go over there and we'll get you the ball and do your thing. So for me, my big takeaway is when you're asking the middle three to be the big three, Kuminga's doing too much, and Pods, I think, is over his skis. And I think that Moody is just lost.
Yeah.
That's my take on the middle three becoming the big three.
I sort of remove the numbers once we get past three. In other words, I don't want a four and a five and a six. To me, that's too much definition.
Yeah.
I
know
just,
what you're saying.
To me, just once you're, if you're one, you're one. If you're two, that's pretty clear. Three can sometimes move around a little bit to different people. But after that, you're just a supporting actor. That's it. That's it. And so your role on every possession is to be that supporting actor. And you're supposed to support the one and the two and the three. And it may come your way some nights, and it may not come your way some nights. When that shot is there for you, if it's the right shot, take it. If it's not, hustle your butt off, rebound your butt off, take a charge. That's everybody after one, two, and three. And that's who I think they all are right now.
Yeah.
Kuminga's the one who could be a three, if you will, but he has not shown the decision-making ability to be that at this point.
Yeah, the five-man combo that they've played the most all year is Jimmy, Steph, Draymond, and then Kuminga and Pods. So in that five-man lineup, it's pretty clear. you're either the four and I'm the five, or I'm the four and you're the five. It doesn't even matter. You're right. The numbers don't matter. But when it's Jimmy, Steph, and Draymond and the other two, you know what you're supposed to do. JK, guard, rebound, dunker spot, pods, gritty, grimy, smart, rebound, shoot the three.
Move the ball.
Et cetera. All exactly. The rest of it. And if you look at the other five-man combos that have been successful, a lot of them have two, at least, of the big three in there. And then the other guys, it's like, all right, Quentin, you're with Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond. We know what you need to do. Chill. Go out there and chill on the wing. We're going to get you the ball eventually and just shoot it.
Yep.
Catch and shoot. So
and like, I don't know, be a seven-footer on defense. That's my issue with Quentin. And I know that's not what he's currently at least built to do. But that, like, Quentin Post is 7 feet and he plays about 6'8".
Yeah, if that. Yeah. Draymond's 6'4", and he plays 7 foot.
Exactly.
And that's just, I mean, a lot of that is just comes down to how you are built as a person. And, you know, Quentin Post is never going to be a ferocious.
No.
He's never going to be Zubats.
No. Man.
He'll never be Şengün.
Well, somebody called Şengün the other day and had a Zubats three-team trade because the Clippers suck.
Yep.
Like, real bad. Sending people home in the middle of the night and everything.
Let's get Zubats.
That's my... Dude.
You and I both. But you look at his contract.
I love that
guy. His contract is pretty, pretty nice.
Which means he ain't getting traded.
Please,
he ain't getting traded.
Nope.
Vince in the city. Hi, Vince. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Just on the roster, I think we can agree that there's a lot of expendable players on the roster. I don't think Pat Spencer should be one of them. I don't know, maybe I'm looking at this wrong, but I feel like since Pat Spencer got to play a little bit last year of what he's done the last couple of nights when the team's down 20-plus points, he is like instant offense. He creates so much, and I feel like he's a similar type player. Now, I don't want people to get this wrong. I'm not saying he's Lou Will or Malik Monk for the Kings when he was giving us problems, but I feel like he can be that type of player who could just come off the bench and go get you a bunch of buckets in a short spurt of time to kind of get you back into the game. I mean, he led the team back along with Melton. I think Melton's going to be huge coming back moving forward. But I just feel like Pat Spencer gives so much more than Pods. And I know Pods for some reason has become untouchable. But Pods minutes got to go to Pat Spencer. I'm sorry. I mean, I know he's on a two-way, but if people are saying Pods is tough, well, so is Pat Spencer. He was a lacrosse player. Those dudes like hit each other for real. I don't see much of a difference. I think Pat Spencer could play better than Pods. And as far as JK goes, I think signing him was a mistake. They should have just moved off of him, or they got to figure out a way to get out of that whole situation with him and Pods. And I don't know, maybe add in Al Horford because he ain't doing nothing either.
Vince, thanks. Appreciate it.
Pods no longer untouchable if he ever was. Pods is now touchable.
I don't know who the hell was untouchable or who is. Sure, Steph.
End of list.
Probably. Yep. I mean, the Warriors may see Jimmy and Draymond as untouchable as well. I don't think the Warriors are as done with this project as some of their fans are. But, yeah, who the hell's untouchable? I mean, quite frankly, even Pat Spencer. I don't know, you know, what the hell that does for you. His salary is next to nothing. He's not even on a real contract. But as far as the comp of Pat Spencer can come in and get you buckets like Malik Monk. I see him as a different kind of player than that. It's not that he can't score. He obviously can. But the reason I think Pat is succeeding is the same reason I think that Brandon and Jonathan are struggling. Pat comes in and does the right thing. Sometimes that's a pass. Sometimes that's a shot. Sometimes that's a penetration. Sometimes whatever. If you want a comp, and this for me is kind of the style of game, and this is projecting now. Like, I want to talk about if the Pat Spencer thing continued for 2 years and he really became a thing that you relied on every night off of the bench, I wonder what Mark Grandy would think about Oregon product Peyton Pritchard. Like, that, to me,
man,
he's a good player. He's averaging 17. And I know. Yeah. Well, but can Pat shoot it consistently? He is right now.
So, I don't know if he can shoot it at that
again,
level.
Again, I project it because of a style of play. I'm not saying he's that. I don't know what he is. This has been like two games and then a couple other things that have happened through the last year. There are a few other nights where you're like, oh, Pat. But that's who I see Peyton Pritchard as. He's somebody who comes in. He's an irritant. He's fast. He plays a little bit bigger than he is. He can shoot. He can penetrate. He comes in. He makes really good decisions. And so he can run an offense or help run an offense. That's who I see as Pat at his ceiling someday, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that it would be great to see that. And, you know, he's playing at a level now where you kind of have to keep him in the rotation. And so you think about when Steph comes back, what that looks like as far as guard minutes. And I think that Pods might be somebody who loses it. And what I see from Pat is, I don't know how much poker you watch when you watch the Texas Hold'em in the tournaments, and you see the guy who's got the short stack, and he's like, all in, whatever, all in. You're going full tilt, and that's what Pat is right now. He's got the short stack, which is, I'm on a two-way deal, and I either ball out and play as hard as I can, or I'm going to be out of this league, and no one's going to even think twice about it. And I'm thinking about Kuminga and Pods. They're protecting their bigger stack, especially Pods.
That's fair.
You know, Pods is like, I want to get to a spot where I get that contract. And, you know, JK, I don't even know what his mindset is, but I look at Pat, and Pat, every time he's out there, garbage time or not, he's playing like he wants to show the world that he belongs.
I think that's actually maybe what happened this week. And Pat even said it at one point. He talked about how he's showing that he belongs in the league. See, I think we're done with that now. If he was somehow to get off of the Warriors, he would totally get picked up. We just got three texts in a row about TJ McConnell of the Indiana Pacers.
Okay.
All of the comps are going to be little white dudes. That's
right,
just the way it
shoot,
works.
I guess. That's what we do when we do comps.
That's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
By the way, this Kerr comment, here's, again, to further illustrate why this is not draftism, listen to Steve Kerr last night when he was asked why he stuck with Pat Spencer in the fourth quarter.
Tonight was a no-brainer. You know, the other night was a tricky decision, but tonight was obvious. Pat was just incredible out there and controlled the game, and he's just about the right stuff. You know, it's organizationally, you know, you just want to stand for something. You know, you want to have an identity, and it's got to be about, you know, competitive spirit and just playing together and competing, and that's what was so beautiful about what that group did down the stretch.
That's quite a statement. Why'd you stick with Pat? Well, from an organizational standpoint, we'd like to stand for something.
Yeah.
And so a bunch of words that essentially say, he went out there and he busted his ass.
Right. Right. He played for us, not for him.
There you go.
You know, there's no I in Pat, and there's no I in Spencer either.
You can't, like, Steve would never cop to it, but there's no removing yourself from that was a shot at certain others.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said it about the other night. He was like, last night was a tough call. And what he didn't say in that cut was he made the wrong choice a couple nights ago. And this time, you know what? He's not going to make that wrong choice.
That's a good point.
Pat's doing it again. So you know what, guys? Gee, you get the fourth quarter. Pat, you get it too. And let's go out there and see what we can do.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.